Who is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be troubled.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
It was Cube Bellet, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome back to Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Appreciate you tuning in. Listen online on sports.com. Dale Jackson joins us every Friday at 9 for Polita Sports. Dale,
yeah.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good.
We had a sort of a fun debate with you off the air a couple days ago.
No, I don't remember it. But
talking about the next president of the United States. And we were kind of joking with you on would The Rock really run for president. And you said you thought he could probably win.
Yeah.
And Arky brought up Oprah Winfrey. And that began a debate of who is more popular amongst all Americans, Oprah and The Rock, and then who realistically could win. So if it came down to Oprah and The Rock, who would be our next president?
I think The Rock, Oprah may be more well-known, but she's polarizing. The Rock is not polarizing. Democrats, Republicans, everybody loves The Rock. Oprah Winfrey, she has taken a very hard left stand on politics already, so everything's kind of baked in on her popularity. People may like her. Half the country doesn't like her politics. The Rock spoke at the Republican National Convention once. I don't know if you guys knew that. But he spoke at the National Convention, and he wasn't there as like, I'm a Republican. He was there basically, I think it was a get out the vote. Sort of generic thing. Are you nodding your head because you know what I'm talking about? Okay, Arky agrees. I thought that was the case, but he spoke at the Republican National Convention once. So, he's the biggest movie star in the world right now, you would argue. There might be others, but he's in the top five at least, and everyone likes him.
If you want to judge it by how much money he's bringing in every year, then yeah, it's him.
I mean, do you want to judge it by awards or something like that? I mean, it's about people going and seeing his movies.
Biggest movie star, I think there are a couple different ways you could quantify that, as in some people would say, you know, who do they think the best actor is in certain movies? Who's, like you said, who's been in the most decorated films?
Popularity contest. Most butts in the seats. I think The Rock is
I don't think actually I don't think it's that. I don't think the only reason that I think that he would have movies that have made the most money is because he's been in the most movies than anyone else. I think other people have probably movies that do better at the gate.
In front of the most eyes, that's probably The Rock.
But you don't think Oprah Winfrey could win the presidency?
If she's running against Donald Trump, if they were running today, I'd probably argue that Oprah could win. But if it's Trump versus Oprah, I would say Oprah has a better shot.
So how about this? If I fast forward, when this term is completed by Donald Trump, who is the next president of the United States? As of right now, you have to set the odds. You can give me three individuals.
It just depends who the Democrats run.
This is what's fun about this debate. It can be anybody you want.
I got you. I think you're going to see Bernie Sanders, if he's still alive, running again.
Wow.
I think you're going to see that. I think you could really, believe it or not, see Hillary Clinton jump in there again.
Okay.
And there's guys like Cory Booker who are compelling, Kamala Harris. But see, these are names that a lot of people won't even know. So, you got to remember that. Kamala Harris is trying to make a name for herself. The left, the Democrats, they're running to the left right now. The anti-Donald Trump stuff is the best thing they've got going for them. The people that are rising to the top is the worst thing they have going for them. Donald Trump's best asset right now is his enemies. Just like the main reason he got elected is because Hillary Clinton sucks. And if the Democrats keep putting up people who are insane as their spokespeople, then they're gonna lose, because the people don't like Trump. But people don't like gun grabbers. People don't want people to run out and say we're going to raise. Nancy Pelosi said the tax cut was unpatriotic. So if they're going to make the argument that we're going to run on taking your guns and raising your taxes and protecting illegal immigrants, Donald Trump can tweet all day from the toilet and he's going to be fine.
Have you had a chance to look into or read about any of these college basketball issues stemming from an FBI probe that are coming out? There's a list of names of schools and players and parents and families, agents, runners, AAU coaches, colleges that have been mentioned today from Pete Thamel and Pat Forty. The reason I ask you is there are a lot of people who would say that you're looking at charges like wiretap fraud, money laundering, things of that nature. Do you feel like it's a – would you say this is a waste of our Federal Bureau of Investigation's resources to diligently go after high school and college basketball players?
It just depends what the crime is.
Still illegal.
It just again, everything is prioritized. You prioritize things. Is this the most important thing in the world? No. I mean, look, here's the reality. This story that you're talking about has received zero mainstream attention. None. It's a sports world story only. I mean, it is solely a sports world story. Now, that's partially because the American media is obsessed with Donald Trump. Trust me, I do a local talk show, and that's all people want to talk about. I mean, just the reality. They don't care that Huntsville's in almost $1 billion in debt. They don't care about that. They want to talk about the latest thing Donald Trump tweeted. So this has gotten very little attention. They do all sorts.
You guys
sorts.
Hadn't mentioned annexation today?
Annexing Morgan County? Emperor battle on the march? No, we haven't been talking about that. But, again, is it important that they follow the law? This sounds like almost a conspiracy or a big effort to manipulate the games. And there's a lot of resources, state dollars and things like that, that go into these things. It's state money. I think people would get behind them spending resources to do this kind of stuff. It's just got to prioritize stuff. Do you go after the guy who makes $30,000 a year and check his taxes? No. You go after the guy who makes $300,000 a year and give him an audit. And this is sort of that. This is still a big fish, but maybe it's not the most important thing.
So the Dale Jackson.
Yeah. The high achiever.
We did speak with Andrea Alderson. She had a story on ESPN.com about this school shooting that took place last week. The political fallout, the discussions surrounding this that have happened since, what are your thoughts on those?
The media represents the far left in this country. That's where their energy is coming from. There is an almost unanimous push for gun control that's never going to happen. The banning of semi-automatics is never going to happen. I guarantee you there are semi-automatics in this building right now. I guarantee it. And if you ask these people, would they want to take away their semi-automatics? Never. Once you explain to them that your handgun's a semi-automatic, no. And that got cheered at this event. Emotions are raw, obviously. Children have been killed.
Arky's saying rap today, saying he likes it raw.
Okay. Well, there is ODB, that. But so. The emotions are raw in a really, really bad way as opposed to his really, really bad rapping. And, and the reality is these people are mad about stuff. And people want answers. You've got a bunch of kids who are able to speak for themselves that have been through this. And they make great witnesses and great interviews, but they're 16, 17, 18 years old. They're still kids. So that part of this has to be discussed. And after the emotions go away, the adults will still make the decisions. I don't foresee any massive gun restrictions, but you never know. Yeah, I mean, the emotions are super raw right now. And there could be something done. But when you go all out and say ban semi-automatics like got cheered at that event, never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Your response to people who say, I can't get on an airplane with a bottle of water? Why can't we make our schools safer from just an entry standpoint?
Because that's not that whole thing you go through with TSA is not about stopping you from having a firearm. It's stopping you from taking an airplane. That's all that's about. That's all it's about. This is a completely different thing at the school. There is no vehicle that they're going to take where they can kill thousands of people in one shot like you could with an airliner. It's also something you accept. It's going to take me an hour to get through the airport to get to my flight. I know that. I accept that. I will pay for it. I'm fine. I'll take my stupid shoes off. I'll complain and whine and bitch about it, but I'll go through it, and I have no problem with that. you're not going to do that 180 times a day, a year, to get into a school. And the only way, and keep in mind, those airports, single point of entry.
I get it.
At Grissom, Sparkman, Huntsville High, all these schools, go to the campus. We all went to school. Our schools
were... But there are multiple inner city schools across the country that are using metal detectors and forcing kids to go to school with clear backpacks.
Generally have a single point of entry, and it's a city block where the school is, and they walk up those front steps and go in. Also, they have more crime in those communities, and that's about stopping everyday crime. I mean, that's what that's about. That is not about the situation where they're trying to stop school shooting. Cindy, my wife, told me when she went to Grissom, they had metal detectors occasionally where you'd have to go through them. They'd be lying out the door. She said people would just drop stuff in the parking lot. I mean, they would just drop stuff in the parking lot where they were going to school or go back to their cars and drop stuff off.
So it was more random? Today's metal detector day?
Yeah. Like you go there, you see a big line.
Okay.
You'd see a big line. And you would go and stand. But still, you go and you stand in that line. Yes, it would stop them from bringing them in. But Cole, if it takes you 3 hours to get your daughter into school, that's not an inconvenience Americans are willing to put up with. And you can tell me it would save 17 kids' lives, would it? Because here's the reality. The only thing stopping someone from going to the Birmingham or Huntsville airport and blowing people away who are standing in line for the TSA is the will to do it. That's it. That's not stopping anybody. This is the will to do it. Same thing. I line up 1,000 kids trying to get into Grissom at a metal detector every single day. That's just another target.
Yeah. So, Dale, great stuff, man. Yep. Appreciate it. Yes, Florida sir. Sports every Friday with Dale Jackson. He joins us right here in the Madison RV studios. With that, we will get to 10 After Tweets brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Our cold question of the day, Arky, as of now, do you like it raw? 80% say yes.
Listen, if it's sushi, yeah, I get it. Hey, let me say this. On the idea about the whole FBI and prioritizing, you know, it's funny because I do see some people on Twitter, because I'm checking it, because the story dropped at 4:30 this morning about a lot of players, over 25 players over in 20 different universities, who had some connection to this agent who had balance sheets for loans, for upfront cash, and for meals that were paid for. I see a lot of people on the Twitter hanging out and saying, well, why don't we prioritize the school shooting thing? Because the whole story came out about the FBI dropping the ball on that. You can do two things at once. It's a giant organization. The FBI, I think, has like 30,000 employees or something. Two things can happen at once. It doesn't mean you have to take all of your... It's like when the president goes, no matter who it is, and does something overseas. It's like, hey, why don't we focus on this at home? It's like, maybe he's got a cell phone where he can check on things too. Maybe there's internet access. Everybody's a multitasker now, so the FBI can and should be looking at this.
Philip tweets... at PMH80. So the NCAA is trying to ruin college basketball at their most profitable time? Geniuses. If they take Colin Sexton away from me, I'm done.
I don't think they're going to take Colin Sexton from you, because that money that went to Colin Sexton didn't actually go to Colin Sexton. It was a meal that was paid for, and Alabama found out about it, and Alabama paid restitution. Or not Alabama, the family did, paid restitution, and Colin Sexton sat out a game. Unless there's a lot deeper to this, and there could be, that's the only thing that that is basically being shown as of now.
By the way, NCAA is not releasing any of this information.
Yeah, no, this is... This
I think the FBI may be trying to ruin your college basketball at its most profitable time.
NCAA not doing a single thing.
Brent Morrison tweets at Cube Show, a basketball book called Soul Influence from the late 90s, early 2000s predicted this whole college basketball scandal. It talked about what was going on then and where it would lead. Jackson at Jackson A. Aaron tweets at Cube Show, do you like when the ad NCAA uses evidence and the same steps the ad FBI uses to rule players ineligible? Because there's two Auburn players that might. I'm just going to say this for you, Auburn cheerleaders in reference to this whole story, I might pump the brakes for just a minute. Just a minute. This is two guys from one agency that has been implicated by the FBI out of about 10 different individuals / entities that some of their information has been released. Hold on a second.
If you want to gloat, by the way, at home, just in your rocking chair, feel free, but you realize the hammer is far from completely down. Considering the fact that two of your best players haven't played a single thing this entire season.
College Hoops 24/7 tweets, Bruce Pearl is going to be hot if they let these players continue to play. They were listed in the report. He lost two of his best players all year due to something like this. You don't know what he lost them for. That's my point. You don't know what Bruce Pearl lost his players for.
It's all speculation at this point as to why, because all these expenses, none of this has been pointing towards Auburn yet.
We can go to both sides of that, though. John Spalding at Season Never Ends tweets, I don't know what the FBI has on college basketball at the moment, but it'd be nice if certain teams, cough, cough, Auburn, could go ahead and get the hammer. Why should you say there's more coming on Auburn? That's the thing. We don't know on either end of this.
Right. I think people just sort of look at why would two players be sitting out this entire season if there wasn't. They're looking at the smoke aspect, which I get. If we're looking at it from that standpoint, then, yeah, it does feel like we're something is amiss. We don't know what's keeping these guys out for the entire season.
I have to read this tweet from Parking Lot Lady. Trademark.
Parking Lot Lady is one of my favorite follows.
At Muy Encantadora 8.
That's her.
And we'll retweet this from Cube Show right now. My grandma used to put real sharp cheddar, parentheses, it won't work otherwise, in her black coffee. It melts and you eat it when you get to the bottom. This is very much an old school, parentheses, and probably only country thing. Anybody else know about this?
Cheddar in your coffee? Not even like cheddar flavored something. Actual cheddar. No, I don't think anyone knows about this. You know about this?
No.
Like, I don't claim to be country. But that seems, that doesn't seem country. That seems
gross.
I was going to say filthy.
Cheddar cheese and coffee?
Just so you can eat it at the bottom because I guess it's melted? Look, I like cheese, but I like cheese on things. I don't like cheese in coffee.
Maybe I haven't had cheese in 13 days.
I don't like coffee. This makes me think coffee is the worst thing on the planet. I can't imagine these two flavors together. Then again, we didn't think about peanut butter and chocolate together either for a long time till it happened.
Kim Walker shares a tweet from WHNT, warm holding violations in this week's restaurant ratings. To which Kim Walker adds, quote, holding violations, # penalty vultures.
I see that.
I'm more interested in what is a holding violation on a restaurant.
I think, okay, you want the real answer or you want a joke answer? I think a holding violation,
I want the real answer,
is probably how long you hold food out for. Like
it, not refrigerated, not covered, what?
Probably, there's probably several one of those. The wife's told me about these before. She works in a very
Rhonda P's Restaurant Catering. No date mark on melon, meatloaf, peas, green beans. Flat pan of eggs sitting out at 61 degrees Fahrenheit, pan of meatloaf 74 degrees Fahrenheit, and bowl of raw chicken 54. Sounds like they
pretty
like it.
Pretty raw. They like it raw. God, it's gross.
These are some things you get
when you look at these food restaurant violations. Sprayer nozzle below flood rim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know that. That's a big deal.
No paper towels in women's restroom. Mold in fountainheads.
Okay, well, that should be a big one.
Bowl of pasta salad on food bar not protected, shielded by food guards. Grease pooling around kitchen. I'll give you one guess where that is. It's close to us. Violations. Grease pooling around kitchen.
Then you used to do a lot of pancakes.
Yeah, there's a big boy holding the stack of them on the sign.
Yeah, I guess I see what you're doing.
All right, we'll be back with Dave Hooker to talk Tennessee Volunteers next. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Appreciate you guys tuning in the Madison RV studios. Going to go to the phones, welcome in Dave Hooker. Hosts his own radio show, covers the Tennessee Volunteers for GridironNow.com. Dave, good morning. How you doing?
I'm well. And I just want to say that being on with somebody at the SEC Network is fantastic. At least it's not that swarmy Tom Hart who I used to work close to in Knoxville.
Yeah, he's difficult to work with. It's he's a guy that you struggle just to be around him. But
no, just kidding. You guys do a fantastic job, by the way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. This Tennessee basketball team, I know a lot of people are talking about them, but still very much alive to pick up a regular season SEC championship. The schedule is not near as daunting as it is for some of the other teams that have that opportunity. How do you expect this team to close the last week or so of the season?
Yeah, I think they'll close well, especially after the way they played against Florida. I thought that Rick Barnes really kind of called out Grant Williams, and that was a bit of a crossroads because Grant Williams is an overachiever, and he got called out by his coach on the Monday press conference they have every week. And at that point, he could have gone one of two ways. He could have said, I'm kind of carrying this team. I'm good here. I'm going to do the best I can. Or he could really step it up. He got in foul trouble and was still gritty, and I was very impressed by the way he responded and honestly the way this whole team has responded the whole season.
It'll be interesting to see how it sort of plays out. But is there legitimate excitement about this basketball team in Knoxville and around Tennessee fans with not just being able to potentially win the SEC, but it's a team that can make a deep tournament run?
Yeah, I think fans are excited. Probably a little behind the curve. In Knoxville, the number one sport, as you know, is football. The number two sport is football recruiting. And probably this past season and for a few years beforehand, it's been finding a coach. So I think they're probably a little bit behind the curve as far as getting excited about this basketball team. But they're certainly getting there. I mean, I think the media picked them, 13 in the SEC preseason. So they're a very pleasant surprise. I think they have their flaws. I think they have to play tough, which fans like. But if they don't, I think they're very beatable. But when they play tough and gritty, you probably don't want them on your schedule.
Dave Hooker joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at the Dave Hooker. Hosts his own radio show on WGOW in Chattanooga. Covers the Tennessee Volunteers. You do that for Gridiron Now as well. And a story that you put out there yesterday that the Vols, do you think, could potentially be the surprise team in the SEC this fall? We run through this schedule before, Dave, and it is not easy, especially when you look at opening up at a neutral site with West Virginia, a team that comes back loaded on offense. But what about this team maybe gives you a little bit of hope that they could surprise some folks in 2018?
Well, I would point to number one that if you look at the ratings in the SEC over the past 4 years and you average them together, they're number five overall in the SEC. I think there's way more talent on this team than what you saw exhibited by Butch Jones. I think there were a lot of injuries. I think they were too physical at times, tackling to the ground in practice late into the season. I think that guys were misused. I think Alvin Kamara is a prime example of that. He goes on to be the NFL Rookie of the Year. And I just think that this there's more talent on this team than most people believe. I hear a lot of Tennessee fans say, well, if they can just go 6-6 and 500, then that's a good season. I don't believe that. I know they were 4-8 last year, but I just believe that this team and this staff will be significantly better than last year. And it got so toxic last season, Cole. I mean, I could take up an hour of your show talking about all the issues within the team of bad relationships and bad communication. So, yeah, I think they could be the surprise team. But you're right, the schedule certainly argues against me.
You look at not only opening with West Virginia, Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina, back to back to back to back to back. There's a bye week included in there, but that middle of the season is, I don't think that you would disagree, will decide just how successful this team can be in 2018.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And to be clear, I think it's quite possible for them to be an 8-win team. I wouldn't, if I'm a Tennessee fan, say that a 6 or 7 win season would be bad. But no, certainly that stretch right there is pretty brutal. But I don't know. I just have seen these guys on the hoof, and I just think they've got a little more talent than Butch Jones utilized. And I can guarantee you Jeremy Pruitt's going to have his offensive linemen with their hand on the ground, and they're going to play physical football. I think year two is when you'll see a big difference, because with the new strength and conditioning coach, I think that'll be much better. That kind of takes a second year to kick into effect. But I don't think the strength and conditioning has been good at Tennessee for 4 years, maybe more. And that was something, going back to John Stuckey and Johnny Long, that they took great pride in. And I think that will have an effect this year, but especially 2019.
Dave, what do you expect from a roster standpoint, the quarterback position to look like for Tennessee this fall? Because I'm seeing reports that this Gardner Minshew from ECU could potentially be in the mix. Chris from Stanford could be in the mix, both as grad transfers. What do you expect the depth chart just for that position to look like at Tennessee in 2018?
There's no doubt in my mind that Jeremy Pruitt wants a grad transfer guy to come in, and it's not just for depth. I had an SEC defensive coach who coached against Tennessee last year, said that Jarrett Garantano just isn't, quote, wired right. I think there's real concern about his emotions and the way he can lead a team or lack thereof. So I don't know who it will be exactly, the grad transfer, but I think there's a great chance that somebody will step in as a grad transfer and start this season, which, you know, if you'd have asked me last year, I would have said absolutely not. I think Quentin Dormady made a huge mistake in transferring from Tennessee, because I thought he would have been a good fit. Has a really good arm, and just was so dismayed by what went on at Tennessee under Butch Jones. He decided to leave before he gave Jeremy Pruitt a chance. I think he'll regret that, and I think Tennessee's worse off for it.
So that's a bit of a position of concern for you, I would take it?
No doubt. No doubt. I think that if it's not Garantano, if he hasn't matured, I think you're looking at probably a game manager type, I would think, with one of those grad transfers.
Dave, great stuff, man. Really do appreciate the time, and look forward to catching up again soon.
I appreciate you. Take care, man.
Dave Hooker. Follow him on Twitter at the Dave Hooker. So,
is that much of a need for you? You think for Tennessee to get a grad transfer, someone in there, to be sort of a stopgap at the quarterback spot to just try to be competitive? Do you think they're that worried about that quarterback spot or about that spot?
Yeah, I mean, I think for good reason, to be honest with you. I mean, listen,
is it for competition's sake or is it for depth's sake?
No, I think it's for competition.
I mean, Garantano has ability and has talent, but I don't know how much he's really proved on the field. Will McBride going to be the guy? I mean, we saw him a little bit last year, and yeah, he's tough, but you need a guy who can come in and command a huddle, can run an offense, can give you consistency, can give you leadership, and I'm not sure either one of those guys can realistically do that. So, yeah, I think grad transfer quarterback to not only come in and provide some depth but also compete for the starting job is something that that's going to be important for Tennessee. And it looks like they have a couple guys who are showing some interest, so it's very possible. You should show some interest in Valley Equipment Rental for all your project needs, whether it's around the house, whether it's your construction site. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com today, valleyequipmentrents.com. Listen, if you need earth-moving equipment, the landscaping jobs are coming up now as the weather's getting warm. Excavators, backhoes, tractors, skids, steers, bulldozers, they're all available at Valley Equipment Rental. Most aggressive pricing in North Alabama on long-term rentals, and the weekend specials go all year round. You can show up today after 3 p.m., rent a skid steer, pay a one-day rental fee, and it's not due back until Monday morning at 8 a.m. That's Valley Equipment Rental. Call Ross and Tanner and the guys today, 256-964-6081, 964-6081, or go to valleyequipmentrents.com. We'll take a break, come back to wrap up the week right here on Cube Show next.
The Cube Show. You listening to The Cube Show. Ha! It's The Cube Show. Hey. Hey. It's 6 o'clock a.m. Tune in to The Cube Show. Turn up your radio. You listening to The Cube Show. You on the way to work? Listen to The Cube Show. We gonna talk sports to 10 on The Cube Show. The Cube Show. Cube Show. The Cube Show. Turn up your radio. You listening to The Cube Show. The Cube Show. Cube Show. The Cube Show. Turn up your radio. You listening to The Cube Show. You want to talk about some sports with Cole Kublick and Arky? Tune in to The Cube Show. We got the 10 after tweets every hour on the hour. Yeah, right here on The Cube Show. So change the radio to WUMP. We turning up, sit there 10 each and every week. Hey, this that all born radio. Let's turn up. The Cube Show is on your radio. It's 6 o'clock a.m. Tune in to The Cube Show. Turn up your radio. You listening to The Cube Show. You on the way to work? Listen to The Cube Show. We gonna talk sports to 10 on The Cube Show. The Cube Show. Cube Show. The Cube Show. Turn up your radio. You listening to The Cube Show. The Cube Show. Cube Show. The Cube Show. Turn up the radio. You listening to The Cube Show.
Back in the Madison RV studio. Go to MadisonRV.com. Fifth wheel travels, trailers, toy haulers, and more available now at Madison RV Super Center. Rod and the guys will take good care of you. You will not believe how luxurious the interior of some of these vehicles are, how affordable they are. They rent, they sell. You can purchase new and used. You can trade yours in. Finance it on site. Madison RV Supercenter. Go to MadisonRV.com. All right, so some feedback on this entire sort of FBI / Yahoo story. I think some people are getting a little bit twisted on what parts of this are big, are important, are meaningful, are impactful. Mardi Gras tweets in that he says, Cole, some of this is kind of bad, but majority is sort of petty, meals and such, overblown. I responded, how bad will depend on what can be proven and who had knowledge and or was involved. To which he responds, like I say, just an overblown situation. The time and money spent on this has to far exceed the total amount in question. When it gets to that point, it's overkill. Okay. If you're talking about government resources being overkill, that's one thing. If you're talking about this story being overblown from an NCAA perspective or an eligibility perspective or an NCAA tournament perspective, absolutely not. You said it earlier in the show. This is most likely going to go down as the biggest scandal in NCAA basketball history. History.
As far as the breadth and the depth, like there's death penalty stuff that's like, oh, we got a Trans Am.
This actual, like the scope of what's happening from the situation of who was getting paid by who, where, wow, and how, and why, that's not overkill at all. And if you want to talk about government resources being used and misaligned, things of that nature, that's a completely different discussion. I don't think that's relevant to how we are talking about it.
And by the way, we're talking just in this one report, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Not $74 at Taco Bell. This is hundreds of thousands of dollars just from this one piece of the puzzle. And sure, is it the most important thing in the world to be paying attention to? No. But neither is you having police officers check me for speeding either.
Rude.
But we're still putting resources towards it. Our priorities just, they're adjusted for certain things. That's why we do prioritize. This is a priority for one side.
You have laws for a reason. People don't say, well, stop using radar guns and stop watching traffic lights. Why is everything not going towards getting drugs off the street? I mean, it's...
You could do two things at once. And if you can't, by the way, go ahead and off yourself.
At Rude Dog Rules tweets, here we go. Media's going to spin this like it's no big deal because of the schools involved. Hashtag media bias.
I think it's a very big deal.
Neither one of us has tried to say that this is not important or impactful or anything.
The interesting part about this is there's only three current players that are mentioned in this part of the DocuLeak, which is Colin Sexton, Wendell Carter at Duke, and Kevin Knox out of Kentucky. There's only three current players. The rest, like Dennis Smith Jr. Dennis Smith Jr. got like $75,000.
Yeah,
I realize that's a lot different than Colin Sexton apparently getting a meal paid for, or his dad getting a meal paid for, or him getting a meal paid for and then paying it back to the NCAA and sitting out a game. Yeah, it's very different, but it's all part of this investigation. Doesn't mean Alabama's going to get hammered with anything else. Doesn't mean that Kentucky's going to get hammered with anything. I don't think Kevin Knox has even sat out.
No, he has. American Pride tweets at American First 78. I can't call in today, but I'm at work. I plan to Monday, but this wouldn't it be better if we got rid of this ridiculous one-and-done rule in the NCAA? Let kids go pro out of high school if they're good enough and tell them if they want the money, go get their money. But if you sign with a college, you're there for a minimum of 3 years. I know it wouldn't get rid of all the corruption, but if you look, it's the possible one-and-done kids that are being targeted. It would cut away done on all the backroom deals and make them legal. It would also make the NBA and especially NCAA basketball so much better. Just let the ones that want the money and agents and shoe deals go pro out of high school. Let the one that want to develop and get an education come, go to college. It would be both much better. It veers off a little bit from what we're discussing now. Do I believe that all of this could lead to some sort of a rules change like that at some point? I don't think the NBA wants it. And I don't think the NBA cares if kids are getting paid out of high school right now by agents. Really don't.
I would prefer that rule just in general because I'd like to get to know some of these guys more in college basketball for a couple of years, but I don't think this is going to spearhead any of that by any real stretch of the imagination that I can see at this point. This seems to be a shoe company and agents just trying to get represented. Look, they're going to try to get representation. They're going to try to get them to be represented anyway. You can meet with an agent. You just have to pay for the meal. You know, that's the Colin Sexton thing. You met with an agent, but the meal was paid for as an extra benefit. That's what they had to pay back and why he sat out of the game.
A lot more is going to come of this.
Exactly. That's the point. We're at the doorstep. Let's kick that sumbitch in. What else we got?
All right, we will... We'll be back Monday, 6 to 10 a.m. Hope you have a great weekend. The Roundtable is next.